And thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon. It is Good Friday, and we are here with Kenny Enney and Darsha Stebbins, and we have a new terminology here. Talk about changing terms. It's referred to as chronological primacy.
It's her term. It's not mine. Good Friday. I don't think you're supposed to say happy Good Friday, but
yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's the coming.
Yeah.
Is one of the messages that I remember from my childhood. So things might seem dark and gloomy, and things might be, you know, where your whole movement seems to have been derailed and you're not sure where you're going from here, but Sunday's the coming. So
good.
The message of Good Friday.
How was your week?
My week was quite interesting. I've traveled
season.
A lot of miles, and there's some really interesting things going on at the IRS and the California Franchise Tax Board. But the whole idea of the chronological primacy was that Kenny was here first, so he is now in the captain's seat.
And I won't hang up on people like some people did last week.
Yes. Thank goodness you're here.
So busy, it's tax season. Remind me on the break, I have a CPA requirement.
As long as I don't have to look it up.
You won't. But yeah, busy news week too. I figured you were like on the phone with all your sources talking about
I
14th Amendment stuff. And
I do have sources, I won't name names to protect the innocent. But there are lots of things going on. So we had some Supreme Court determinations. Mm-hmm. We had some President Trump.
Were they determinations deliberations? I think they were more deliberations. You're talking about
they did have opinions coming out.
Which one?
Yeah.
There's so much. Which one?
I know. Where should we start? All right. So let's start with Maryland.
No, is that the school district that's got to pay the fine? That wasn't a Supreme Court decision, though, was it?
Not a Supreme Court decision, but that's a deliberation. That's where parents having to do with parental rights and rights
that was last
of
year.
Children in the school, but they did issue where now they have to pay, and they have a dollar amount that the school district has
to pay. Well, here in California, California got hit with a $1.5 million fine. Judge Benitez fined our illustrious Attorney General Bonta.
Rob Bonta.
They got fined $1.5 million. And if you read the decision, it's basically because Bonta and Newsom were so adamant that parents didn't have rights. So,
it turns out that parents do have rights. It turns out that by federalizing the education system, we now have this back and forth about which laws prevail, which laws are supreme, and most of the school districts and the legal counsel at the school district is saying follow the state laws. And we even have this with our election systems and processes, where our county clerk recorder's office is saying we follow the California Elections Code, regardless of whether there's an executive order about mail-in ballots. So we can get into that.
Well, I figure we'll get into that too. I know you won't let that one go. Did you go to a No Kings rally last week?
I did not.
Really? I was sure you were like there incognito in a frog outfit or dressed up as Lady Liberty.
Butterfly. Monarch Butterfly. As I understand, there were people that were dressed up as a Monarch Butterfly, which is interesting because a Monarch Butterfly can
migrate. The king thing, I guess.
So how is it when you have a No Kings Day? I did have information about the funding about a No Kings Day. And indivisible.org, I think we've mentioned on this show and I've mentioned in other places that the funding from indivisible.org that is overall nationwide, kind of the organizer of these No Kings Day protests, that there's almost $3 billion, billion.
Yeah, I read all that.
So the funding coming from various Soros agencies, Arabella, Ford Foundation, and a lot of this is the same organizations that are affiliated with the smurfing that goes, that's money going into political campaigns using, you know, small dollar donations, but thousands and thousands of donations coming from one person that is usually 65 and over, living in whatever district, and there's billions of dollars going into campaign contributions to help fund these organizations. So it's typically what is referred to as dark money and foreign money sources that is actually illegal.
My wife was so upset by the fact that Ford was one of the major contributors to the No Kings Day that she may not buy Ford.
Well, it is the Ford Foundation that has been infiltrated and hijacked, so.
Mm-hmm. Where are they getting their money?
Mm-hmm.
From the sale of cars? So, when we look at these nexuses, one of the things going back to my favorite group, which is the National Educators Association, one of the business items that they had from last year, new business item 58, and this was from the July 2025 National Convention. Mm-hmm. It says, NEA declares its support and participation in the mass democratic movement against Trump's authoritarianism and violations of human rights. We support the No Kings movement and the Los Angeles-based movement to defeat Trump's attempts to use federal forces against the state of California and other states and communities. So all these dots are being connected. And again, when you look at some of the...
Follow the money.
When you look at some of the groups that were involved in organizing the student walkouts, they're the same groups that were encouraging teachers and telling teachers how to get students to participate in the No Kings rallies. So, this is something that I want to bring up later on. One of the concerns, I don't know who the caller was 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that brought up Invisible Coup, the Peter Schweizer book. But I had an opportunity to start. Confession.
I have my prop.
Oh, look at that. You brought it. That's good, because I don't have time to sit and read, so I'm usually like on my tractor listening to my Audible. But if the listeners have time, I would encourage them to at least listen to Chapter 3, which talks about the Mexican government involvement and a lot of the stuff that's going on. But it starts getting into education, and in Chapter 4 as well, it talks about the impact of the views of naturalized citizens versus the views of native-born citizens.
And just for our listeners, so Invisible Coup is a book by Peter Schweizer. He does a lot of the, going back to the 80s, 90s, Follow the Money a lot of, even in looking at the Clinton Foundation.
He wrote a great, the first book I ever read by him was with Caspar Weinberger. Ah. And it was called The Next War. And what's interesting to me is two of those wars, there were five scenarios total. Two of those scenarios are kind of playing out right now.
Mm-hmm.
The war on drugs and the Iran war.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, what I was going to say is there's 10 chapters in this book. The first chapter is proof of concept. Second chapter, Mexico's Reconquista of the U.S. is real. Chapter 3, Mexico, organizing militancy in the U.S. We've definitely seen that. No King's Day rallies. A lot of that is about referring to people who are, quote, undocumented. We have the birthright citizenship issues. Anyway, so going into chapter 4, this one I was particularly interested in. That one is Voter Mills. Chapter 5, China, the Manchurian Generation. Chapter 6, Importing the Revolution. Chapter 7, Progressives and Drug Cartels. Chapter 8, Transforming America. Chapter 9, The Surge. And Chapter 10, Sundays A-Comin', Fighting Back. I added the Sundays A-Comin'.
Did you copyright that?
No, I didn't.
Well, what I found fascinating about Chapter 3, if everybody remembers the protests in Los Angeles last summer and the need to deploy the U.S. Marine Corps to protect federal property, what Peter Schweitzer asserts in this in Chapter 3 is essentially the involvement of the Mexican government in that. And I find all of it very credible, but I forgot the number of consulates that Mexico has established, but it's over 50 consulates, I believe, nationwide. And they've actually established a branch of migrant, I forgot the official title of it, but it's basically coordinating with migrants in the United States. So this is an official office in Mexico City, and it coordinates basically resistance to the Trump administration and how to go out. They've got Mexicans apparently maintain dual citizenship, so they still vote in Mexico, even though they're residing in the United States. And that's something that I think needs to be discussed later on. But the remittances is, I think, the number two source of income for the for the nation of Mexico. So remittances are what Mexicans send back to their home country, to their families. And if I remember correctly, it's number two after petroleum, then it's remittances, and then it's concrete or something like that. And so they have a vested interest in making sure that you have open migration into the United States, because that's one of the ways that they're propping up their country. I know that when I was at U.S. Southern Command, even though Mexico fell under NORTHCOM, Northern Command, obviously what happened in Mexico impacted a lot of what was going on in Central America. And the only reason why Mexico was in Northern Command was for political reasons, frankly. But the discussions were... There were regular discussions about what would happen to the economy of Mexico if you were to turn off remittances. So if you were to start heavily taxing, for instance, I don't know if people remember, Western Union, you would show up at the grocery store and there'd be, a line out the door of the grocery store of 50 migrants that were wiring money down to their families. There were a lot of studies done at U.S. Southern Command about what would the impact be on the country. And if I remember correctly, if you did a 25% tax, it would collapse on the remittances. So just basically you're taking this money out of the U.S. economy and sending it to another country. So there's going to be a 25% tax. It would collapse the Mexican economy. So it's obviously something that the Mexican government's concerned about, and it it's a problem that if you read that chapter, it was very eye-opening to me. And I think there are a lot of Mexican officials, if that chapter is correct and they can prove it, they should lose their diplomatic status and be sent back to Mexico. And I would go as far as to say that a lot of those consulates should be shut down because they're violating diplomatic protocols.
And I am aware of the consulates, and even in San Luis Obispo County, Ventura County, Santa Barbara County, up and down the coast, that the consulates have a very tight control over who is working, because they have access to the official documents. And it's possible, I'll just say that it's possible, that they, once someone has a driver's license or a social security number, that they can be registered to vote, mm-hmm. not even realizing that someone else has registered them to vote. And in a lot of ways, I believe that the immigrant community, whether legally or illegally, legally, they're very aware of their status of being able to vote or not able to vote. The illegal immigrants may not know. And the only thing that stops someone from, once they have a driver's license, from, it's just a checkbox on that DMV original application saying, you know, are you a U.S. citizen? Yes or no? And if you check the box, it's under penalties of perjury. And even if it's in some other language, their first language, whether it's Farsi or Mandarin or Spanish or whatever it is, that under penalties of perjury does not have a meaning, you know, when. So it is not sufficient to be able to use that as a criteria without having some kind of additional documentation as to whether or not you are a U.S. citizen. So I am in full favor of having additional documentation to be able to vote, and have it be every single time.
I think one of I remember the moment that I really liked Donald Trump when he was, when he announced that he was running for president in, I guess it was 2015. But he was talking about things that nobody wanted to talk about. And I think the conversation that needs to be had today is, what does it mean to be a U.S. citizen? And that is, you know, that's a question that we're going to have to start asking ourselves.
And if you don't have borders, you don't have a country.
Yeah. Hello, caller.
Welcome to Open Mic Friday on Good Friday.
Well, on Good Friday, you know, you have, even in your own local community, people who are working with Mexican consulates just recently, within the last few years, to give people who are here illegally documentation from the Mexican consulate. So you have, even in your local community here, very active people that are orchestrating, organizing, and trying to legitimize people who shouldn't even be here.
And I am aware of that situation and agree with you. Yes.
Well, the problem is everybody sits around with their hands sitting on their hands, and they do a lot, you know. This is, you're undermining your own country. You're undermining the very foundations of this republic. And people are sitting around thinking that it's no big deal, or that, you know, Peter Schweitzer made it very clear in his book that this is a clear and present danger to the republic. And I've been screaming about this for 35 years, and now we're at a point where people are actively going out and trying to legitimize publicly the people who are here who shouldn't even be here. Do you realize how annoying that is?
It's more than
annoying.
That's
kind of an understatement.
It's more than annoying, because we are a country of laws And we are a country of rights and responsibilities. And that's why I keep bringing up Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution about we are a republic. And what do they all try to do? They try to have it be about being a democracy.
Caller, thanks. Thanks for your input on the Article 4, Section 4. We'll go to a break. We'll be back in a minute.
As soon as I talk about the Republic, Kenny wants to go to a break. But people, that's what we have. Let's bring it back. Restore. Restore the Republic.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Okay, we're back. Call in anytime, change the subject if you like. Usually when Article 4, Section 4 is mentioned, that's a cue to change the topic.
What is Article 4, Section 4?
Call us at 238-5775, 238-5775. So, Darsha, you said that you'd mentioned that we're a nation of laws. I think that's what we're in the founders' intent.
Agreed.
Was that.
And where
but
are
when
we
you
now?
Start reading through Schweitzer's book and when you start listening to some of the discussion from the birthright citizenship debate on Wednesday, I would challenge that. When you look at Schweitzer's book, it talks about how both political parties wanted to have open immigration in order to increase the voter rolls. And that is the chapter 4 you mentioned, Voter Mills, I think.
Correct.
Is the name of the chapter for chapter 4. And the Democrat Party in particular went from being the party of, you know, supporting the blue-collar worker to, hey, why are we fighting this illegal immigration? Let's take advantage of it and grow our ranks. And so it talks about how Clinton and Gore were the first ones in the Democrat Party to really sort of push that idea. Obama and Biden took it and ran with it. And so you know, we're now 26 years after Clinton and Gore, but we're at a point where we're not quite sure how many illegal aliens we have in the country. And that is the correct legal term.
There's at least 20 million, but people I talk to say that it's closer to 30, 40, 50 million and could be as high as 100 million people.
Yeah. One of the things that concerned me when I was reading through chapter 4, and I have to paraphrase it, but it was a poll that was quoted, and it was a Harris poll from 2013, and it highlighted what I see as a big threat, and that's the failure of public education to create citizens. And it said that 50% of naturalized citizens believe that instilling American values was the role of public education, but 81% of native-born Americans believe that it was the job of public education. I would argue it's, you know, I've always said it's in the top three. You know, you educate people on reading, writing, and arithmetic. You train them to be a skilled laborer to society, and you make them a good citizen. And public education.
What three things in the last 30, 40, 50 years, what three things, those very things have been either neutralized or have been pushed down to be, you know, if you don't have a common language or if language is not where that's prime, you know, for assimilation.
Right.
And so assimilation, you have to have the language. We no longer teach civics in our schools.
We do.
We don't learn. Well,
I'm using the air quotes.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
At 24%.
Hey, those kids that protested and threw water bottles, they're going to get civic cords for graduation. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. So you were... I heard Darsha mention earlier the Ford Foundation, and then we talked about the both Democrat and Republican parties pushing for large mass immigration. And I think that something that should be discussed in that conversation is shareholder primacy, basically forcing companies to invest in basically whatever the cheapest option is. And if it's cheaper to bring in a bunch of mass immigrants, then they're basically legally mandated to push for that. That seems like a pretty big issue we should resolve.
No, that's an excellent point. And, you know, I'm guilty of, you know, whenever I get my shareholder ballots.
Board of directors, you know, meeting.
I never research those things. I usually toss them, to be perfectly frank. But... yeah, but that's another way. That's probably one of the major ways that the left has taken over corporations, is by stacking the going to the shareholder meetings and stacking the audience. If you ever read about Blackwater or Vanguard or any of those investment groups, those groups went in and started influencing major corporations. Back, I guess it was really 2017, 18, Trump's first term.
It was earlier than that.
Earlier, but mm-hmm. When there was concern over, you know, why...
BlackRock.
I said Blackwater. sorry.
That was another scandal.
Freudian slip. but BlackRock, you know, they started pushing all those corporations to do all these crazy things. And when you talk to the corporations, they're like, hey, look, these guys, they own a significant chunk of our stock, and we have to do what they say. Great point. I appreciate it. Have a good
Thanks
Easter.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. We're on to the long break. I suspect that when we get back from that long break, Article 4, Section 4 will probably be brought up again.
Well, we are a rural community, so 4x4 is an easy way to remember that. We'll All be right. back after the break. Please let us know if you have any Easter Sunday ceremonies coming up, and we'd love to hear about
services.
All right, services. Thank you.
All right.
AM AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.